This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World. My colleague, Sebastian Gorka, his radio program, America First, he looks at the news and reports it all week. I look at the news and report it all week. And we now go to foreign affairs, Afghanistan. I've spoken with John Bolton, former National Security Advisor. I've listened to a webinar presentation by H.R. McMaster, former National Security Advisor. I've read comments by David Petraeus, commanding in Iraq and then in Afghanistan. All three, and I could go on. There's others who are speaking out. Jeff McCausland, a CBS military affairs analyst, all of them saying that what they are keen about is Afghanistan not falling into the complete catastrophe of Saigon 1975. Keen on it. They believe that we must, in some fashion, stop Afghanistan from falling into the hands of the Taliban. Seb, have you heard anyone applaud the president outside of his administration? Anyone at all?
I haven't, but I have to address these analogies, the swirling around D.C. I mean, you don't even have to be a very keen historian. But how fallacious. I mean, is this how pedestrian and unimaginative the elite is, that we have to think about the last war that didn't go well, and therefore a nation in Central Asia with 36 languages that has never functioned as a federal nation except for 7 years under the monarchy is in any way comparable to Vietnam in 1972 or 1973? It beggars belief. There is zero similarity, apart from the fact that both involved irregular, indirect forms of warfare. The South versus the North in Vietnam has nothing to do with the dozens, the literally dozens of militias and private actors that that make up the Afghanistan of today. So no, it's lazy thinking, and it's just knee jerk. But to your primary question, I don't see a Biden plan to even critique.
There isn't one, so we'll move on to China. No. We'll move on to China. China's threatening Australia routinely. Our ally is threatening other parts of Southeast Asia as well. Everybody is vaguely under threat of China and Japan, but threatening Australia. There is no hesitation anymore. The Biden administration acknowledges the hostility. The question is, what are they going to do about it? And as of now, the tariffs are a good start, but they were started by Donald Trump. So what new has has Joe Biden contributed to this confrontation with Xi Jinping and his bullies?
Well, he's kicked the hornet's nest in some ways. In other ways, with his lapdog being the ultimate beta male in the Anchorage summit, laying down in front of the steamroller that was the Chinese diplomatic corps. You know, Antony Blinken responding with no harsh words to the lambasting that he received with the BLM talking points from Communist China. It's a very mixed message, but. My word, John, I really have nothing reassuring to say, because I follow the Australian media, and when you see government ministers, when you see members, senior members of the military, quite unequivocally signal to the Australian people that, yeah, you need to get ready. We may be in a shooting war with China. It's not good.
The cover of The Economist magazine from your hometown, London, featured a picture of Taiwan. Now, this is The Economist magazine. These are not Tories, okay? Let's put it that way. Okay, fine.
No, they're not even Whigs.
All right, fine. But they are clearly, very, very clearly telling the British public everywhere that Taiwan is a target for the PLA. Yeah. and that what's coming next is, as you say, a shooting war. Now, we do have responses. I don't hear the Biden administration preparing the American people for the little green men in Taipei. I don't hear it.
No. Look, if you want to be optimistic, you can talk about the automaticity of military response. And I don't mean in a mindless fashion, but I mean we still have military professionals who know what to do. We know, you know, we have 12 nuclear battle carrier groups. We are the most powerful naval nation the world has ever seen. So we have capacity. But beyond the war plans that exist in the bowels of the Pentagon that have been prepared for China's invasion of Taiwan, you need leadership as well. You decisions have to be taken by the White House, by the National Security Council. And I have no clue. And it's sad. I still have my clearances. I talk to people. I have no clue that they have a clue what they would do if the balloon went up. So I was so proud when we were in the White House. The first thing we did was we reached out to our partners in the region. The first phone calls were with Abe in Japan. And we reassured them that America is back and we will not allow you to be intimidated. Australia as well. I haven't heard any of that in the last 105 days.
North Korea. The White House is very clear that they are not that the Biden administration is not following strategic patience. That was the Obama administration's presentation in North Korea. The White House is very clear they're also not following how they characterize Donald Trump's administration's approach, which was an attempt at what you'd have to say was a conversation that ended with sanctions, severe sanctions. So right now there is no policy name for North Korea. At the same time, there's no attention in North Korea. And jumping up and down on his trampoline is Pyongyang's dictator saying, look at me, I've got nuclear weapons. The Biden administration wants it to go away. Will it, Sepp?
Let me answer that vastly. So I was there in Singapore for the Trump-Kim summit that created stability for the first time in decades. Imagine if we had a summit, pick a place, I don't care, Geneva, Canada. What would the Biden administration say? There's no script. There's nothing. There's no libretto for what the North Korea policy would be. So he'll keep on jumping up and down. Maybe when he does something that's a little bit more untoward than would otherwise be the case, there'll be some response. But as of today, it is impossible to predict what this White House would do, because I think that they don't have a plan yet again. They're too distracted. It's domestic politics. It's infrastructure. It's get Donald Trump banned again. These are the kinds of things that distract them, and that is not good for all of our national security.
Well, may I mention Iran quickly? Only because it is my information that the president intends to reignite the Iran deal. It is my information that the president wants to be seen as a peacemaker. It is my information that the president is seeking some rapprochement with the supreme leader. This from a predatory state that worries the whole region. I think they're going to make it happen, Seb. I don't think they can be stopped. Iran will be empowered. The whole region will be in fear after that moment.
And everything that we built in the Trump administration, the multifaceted Abraham Accords, historic peace treaties for the first time in decades, will be put at risk. And again, and God bless them for it, when push comes to shove, Israel is going to take the action that is necessary to save Israel. So if the Bidens want to resuscitate the JCPOA-Iran deal, I know at least one nation that has a plan to protect itself against a resurgent Iran.
Sebastian Gorka, he is the host of his radio program across the nation, America First. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, a.k.a. your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialously with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialously with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.